story of Christmas, the birth of Christ, familiar to all of us. Sometimes, as Adam was implying in his comments this morning, the fact that it's so familiar causes us not to pay attention to the details of the story, and sometimes we forget what it's all about. I've told you the story before about the lady riding the bus through the Grand Canyon, and there was a young man on the same bus. First time he'd ever been on a bus ride that went around and close to the Grand Canyon, and he was just looking out the window. You know, his nose was up against the window, his mouth was open wide. He was just in awe about everything that he saw. And he looked over at this lady, and she was reading a book and had her nose in a book like this and never looked out the window. So they got to the end of the bus ride, and he went over to her and he said, "Ma'am, I just need to ask you a question. I said, I noticed that all the time we were going past this beautiful scenery, you never even looked at it one time." And she said, "Oh, I've made this trip 30 times. I've seen all there is to see." And of course, she wasn't being truthful. I mean, the Grand Canyon is so vast that you could ride through it 100 times and see something new every time. Well, the same thing is true about the Word of God. It's a living book. You could have read the Christmas story 500 times, and some of you probably have in your lifetime. But if we read it with an open mind and ask the Lord to show us something, He'll show us something that perhaps we've never seen before in the Christmas story. And that's why the Bible is a living book. It never dies. There's always something new and fresh as the Holy Spirit reveals more and more to us about it. So three parts of the lesson this morning. Jesus was born in the plan and timing of God. Jesus was born ultimately for our salvation, and Jesus' birth must be proclaimed. So again, we're in Luke's record of the birth of Jesus this morning. He's going to declare him as Savior, Christ, and Lord. And so we're going to look about the setting of his birth. We're going to look at the angel's visit to the shepherds. And then we're going to look at the joy that the shepherds had and how they went out and shared what they had experienced. So we start in Luke chapter 2, verse 4 this morning. First passage of scripture down through verse 7. Jesus was born according to the plan and timing of God. Here's what the Bible says. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Luke provides some historical context that the other gospel writers don't, as far as to when Jesus was born. It's actually in verse 3, we didn't read it, but it talks, "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city." Caesar Augustus had required that everybody go and be registered, probably to be taxed. And so Joseph and Mary went up from a little village called Nazareth, where they were living. They went up to Bethlehem. And if you look at it from where the cities stood on a sea level standpoint, Nazareth had a lower sea level point than Bethlehem did. And so the journey, as Adam mentioned, was mostly uphill. So they went up. Bethlehem is called the city of David because that's where King David was born and where he was raised. We usually associate David with Jerusalem when he became king, but he was born and raised in Bethlehem. It was about an 80-mile trip, okay? Now, for us today, an 80-mile trip, we could make it in an hour, the way some of you drive. Me too, I guess. We can make it in about an hour and a half, okay, on the roads that we have. But back then, even if you were in good shape, it would take you a few days to make that 80-mile trip. Now, if you stop and think that you are traveling with a very expectant wife, a lady great with child, traveling by donkey, probably. That's what, you know, we see the pictures of Joseph leading the donkey with Mary sitting on it. It would probably take you longer than a few days. They went to Bethlehem because the Bible tells us that Joseph was a descendant of David. He was of the lineage, a house and lineage of David. Now, we also know from another gospel that Mary was too. She was also a descendant of David. So, again, to be taxed. Now, as the author points out, it doesn't appear that it was required for Mary to go. Now, he speculates as to why she might have gone, and if you've read your lesson, you see his speculation. But we don't know why she went, okay? But we know she had to go according to God's plan. Now, I don't think, you know, God did not make her go. He just used the events of the day to accomplish his plan. The Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. That was the prophecy. And so Mary had to get to Bethlehem. And again, we think of the Roman government. It was the most powerful organization on the earth at that point in time. It basically ruled the world. And yet here was the Caesar of Rome being used by God to get this young lady in the very city where he needed her to be to fulfill the prophecy that was given that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, as foretold in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And so don't ever think that God can't accomplish his purpose. Even with a wicked empire like Rome, God can use them to get people in the exact spots that he wants them to be at the exact time that he wants them to be. Now, they were espoused, so they were engaged. But engagement back then was a lot more binding than our engagements today. It was more like being married. In order to break an engagement, you had to get a divorce. Now, it was just about as easy back then as it is, as it has turned out today. But here was Mary. They were, again, a spouse, but she was great with child. Now, again, a spousal was, you got engaged. Usually your parents arranged the marriage. You were engaged for a period of a year before you started living together. And you didn't, you didn't have relations during that year. But as the author points out, that engagement could happen for a young lady as early as 13. I think that's when Wayne and Carol got engaged, when she was 13. But just teasing.
A little bit later.
She was with Joseph. So apparently their time of a year had passed, but they had not had relations yet. Now, you remember, it's not recorded in the book of Luke, but in the book of Matthew, when Mary got pregnant and Joseph found out, he wanted to put her away privately. I mean, he didn't want to make a big spectacle of it. He was going to do it very privately, get the divorce, break the engagement. They hadn't come together as husband and wife at that point. He thought, as you know, most men would, that she had been unfaithful to him, and that's why she was pregnant. But God came to Joseph in a dream and said, no, Mary has not been unfaithful. The child she bears is the child of God. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her and impregnated her. And so Joseph, again, in faith, believed God. He continued the relationship, did not know Mary until after Jesus was born. And so she was now traveling with him, great with child, to Bethlehem, again, getting in the spot where God wanted them to be, where the Messiah was going to be born, getting ready to have the Christ child. Verse 6 says, and so it was. And so it was. The stage was set. God, according to God's plan, the people that were involved were in the place where he had planned, at the time that he had planned. And so while they were in Bethlehem, Mary delivered her baby. Now again, we don't know for sure, but there probably wasn't anybody there to attend to her as she gave birth except for Joseph. We don't know that for sure, but no record of anybody else being there at the birth of Christ except for him. And from a human standpoint, the birth itself was probably natural, was probably normal. And she brought forth, the Bible says, Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Now, that was what was done normally during that day. They would take strips of cloth. They would wind the baby real tight. I mean, it was a way to keep them warm. It was a way to provide let them feel secure. It was also a way to keep their legs and arms straight so that they would grow straight. And so she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Okay, now a manger was a feeding trough, usually 2 to 3 feet long. Many of them made out of stone. And so we would imagine that as they went into this place, and most people think that Jesus was born in a barn or in a cave that served as a barn because they did lay him in the manger. But we would think that Joseph probably put some hay or straw in that manger to provide a soft bed for their little baby. And then as Mary wrapped him in the swaddling clothes, they laid him in that manger. And that manger served as a bed because there was no room for them in the end. And again, now Bethlehem wasn't the big town. Lots of people were there to register, pay their taxes if they did it at the same time. And so, you know, they didn't have the Holiday Inns and the Hampton Inns and the different things that we have around here. In fact, back in that day, most people, if you went to visit a different city, you stayed with relatives or you stayed with people that opened up their homes and provided hospitality. Well, with all the people that were there, all the homes were filled, the inn was filled. And so the innkeeper offered Joseph the use of the stable, again, a barn or a cave, and that's where God's son made his appearance on this earth. And so again, God used the circumstances of the world at that time to get Mary and Joseph to the right place at the right time. And to think that the Son of God, our Savior, would be born in a stable. I mean, again, Adam says, if we were God, we would have done it a different way. I mean, we would have had the best motel, had the, you know, a doctor standing by, everything ready, but that's not how God works. And he did everything according to his plan. All right, now look at the next passage of Scripture, verses 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So the shepherds were out in the field. When they were out in the field, their main responsibility was to find good pasture, water for their flock, but mostly to protect them. And the custom was that at nighttime, several shepherds would put their flocks together. You say, well, how did they not get their sheep mixed up? Didn't they all look the same? Well, back in that day, the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. And all the shepherd had to do was call out, and their sheep would follow them. And so at night, in order to, again, protect the flocks from any predator, several shepherds would mingle their flocks together and stand guard together at night. And back in Jesus' day, in that part of the world, they usually spent the night in the fields from early spring to the middle of the fall. So from March to November on our calendar. Sheep were valuable back in that day. But shepherds were the lowest members of society. Many of them were dishonest. Many of them were unclean from a ceremonial standpoint, from a Jewish law standpoint. And again, the fact that the angels made the announcement to the shepherd shows that Jesus came to save sinners. He did not go to the temple to announce the birth of his son. He did not go to the religious leaders. He did not go to the government leaders. He went to the lowest members of society with this announcement, again, to show that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So the shepherds got a visit from an angel. Again, they were, you know, out in the night. They were doing what they normally did. It was a night like most other nights. Probably had a little fire going to stay warm. You know, they were keeping guard of their sheep. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Now, usually when the Bible uses the term glory of the Lord, they were talking about the presence of God. And I know the angels came and spoke, but don't think for a minute that God wasn't there. He was there. And the Bible says when they saw that one angel, that appeared to them in the sky. And I've often wondered, how big was that angel? I mean, was it just the regular size of a man? I think when the angel talked to Mary and talked to Mary, that he was the regular size of a man. But when that angel appeared in the sky, I wonder if he was bigger or if he was just a regular size. It was bright. It was bright. I mean, they couldn't miss it. The shepherds couldn't miss the angel. And their reaction, the Bible says, they were sore afraid. Now, again, I always try to put myself in the place of people that I read about in the Bible. Just imagine you're out on the hillsides of Bethlehem. You're doing what you've done night after night after night, probably your whole life. Some of these guys were shepherds. I mean, they went out with their dads when they were boys, and they spent their whole life on the hillsides of Bethlehem, tending their sheep the time of year that they did it. They'd never seen anything like this. Can you just imagine, put yourself in their place and try to imagine what it must have been like to be surrounded by the glory of God, to see that brightness in the sky, and then to see that solitary angel. I think all of us would have the same reaction. We would be sore afraid. We would be afraid. They had never seen anything like this before, and the message they were about to hear, they just couldn't imagine it, especially coming to them. So the first thing the angel said was, "Fear not, don't be afraid." They were afraid. I mean, they were probably shaking. Same thing that he said to Zacharias when he announced the birth of John the Baptist. Same thing that he said to Mary when the angel came to Mary and told her what was going to happen. Most people back in Bible days, when they saw an angel, they were afraid. And the angel, first thing they said was, "Fear not." So that's what this angel said to the shepherds. He says, I'm bringing good tidings of great joy. I'm bringing good news that'll cause you a lot of joy. In fact, the Greek word, I won't be able to say this right, eugazomi, means proclaiming good news. We get the English word gospel from that Greek word. And that's what the angel was doing. He was proclaiming good news. And this would be good news to all people. He was proclaiming the birth of the Savior. But the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was going to be good news to every single person everywhere. In fact, after his resurrection, Jesus told the disciples, "Hey, I want you to go to the end of the earth, and I want you to share this good news." And Paul defined the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, you couldn't die until you were born, and so the birth was a vital part of the gospel. Jesus had to be born the way God foretold. He had to be born of a virgin. He had to be born in Bethlehem. And so the angel was come and says, "Hey, I've got some good news for you. I am a proclaimer of good news that's going to result in great joy in your life. Because unto you is born this day in the city of David, in Bethlehem." And again, the prophet Micah told us that he would be born in Bethlehem. A Savior, the Savior, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, Notice the angel gave Jesus three titles. Okay? He called him Savior. Savior. That's what the word Jesus means. Savior. Now, we're going to talk about it in church this morning. Every man needs a Savior because we're a sinner. The only way we can be saved from the penalty of sin is by what God did for us through Jesus Christ. And so when the angel came to Joseph, he said, I want you to call his name Jesus. When Mary has this little boy, I want you to call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. So the angel says, I got good news for you. It's going to cause you great joy. A Savior, your Savior has been born this night. And then he called him Christ. Now, that was the word for the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one. One that would come from the lineage of David who would one day deliver his people. Okay? Of course, now that's what the Jews were looking for. They weren't looking for a little baby. They were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for one that would overthrow the Roman rule. And here was the angel saying to the shepherds, hey, I've got some good news for you. It's going to cause you great joy. Your Messiah, your Christ, has been born. And then he called him Lord. The angel said, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The title highlights the power and the authority that Jesus had as God. It goes back, that name Lord goes back to the name that God shared with Moses at the burning bush when he said, who should I say sent me when I go back to your people and tell them that you're going to deliver them? You tell them the I am. You tell them Yahweh sent you. So the angel said, I got good news. It's going to cause you great joy because your Savior, your Messiah, God has been born into this world. And the angel said, I'm going to give you a sign. The baby was born in Bethlehem. Wonder how many babies were born in Bethlehem that night. Don't know. Could have been more than one. But the angel said, I'm going to tell you how to find this little baby. That's the cause of this, that's the heart of this good news and the cause of this joy. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, shepherd said, well, that's nothing odd. Every baby born tonight would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. But then the angel said, you're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That would have been different. If there were more than one baby born that night in Bethlehem, they would have all been wrapped in swaddling clothes, but probably none other than Christ was laid in a manger. So what the angel was saying, said, your Savior has been born, your Messiah has been born, God has entered the realm of man, but don't go looking for him in the palace. Don't go looking for him among the rich and powerful. Don't even go to the nicest houses in Bethlehem looking for this little baby. You need to go look in the barns. You need to go look in the caves. You need to go look in the stalls of the city until you find a manger with a little baby lying in it. Then you'll find your Savior. Then you'll find your Messiah. Then you'll find your Lord. Now, then the Bible says, suddenly, and again, the New Testament uses the word suddenly when it talks about things that God does, the angel was joined with a multitude of the heavenly host. How many angels were there? Bible doesn't tell us. I think there was a lot of them. I think they filled the sky. And again, the appearance of that many angels told the shepherds that what had just happened, the announcement they just received, was important. It was life-changing. It was true. And I was thinking last night, if one angel caused the shepherds to be sore afraid, can you imagine what they felt like when the sky was filled with angels? Again, just put yourself on the hillside in Bethlehem that night. You see one angel and you're so afraid, and then the sky is filled with angels and they begin to sing and they begin to praise God, and they said, glory to God in the highest. Glory is another word for praise. They begin to praise God. because the angels understood what was happening. The angels understood that this just wasn't the birth of any little baby. It was the start of the plan that God had to redeem mankind. Now again, God just didn't make up the plan. He had the plan before he created the earth. That's why Jesus is talked about as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But the fact that Jesus was born means that God was starting to unfold the plan. He was starting to reveal the plan. And so the angels, because they knew that, gathered together that night and they began to give glory to God. They began to praise God because the thing that they'd been looking for thousands of years was beginning to unfold. And so heaven's host gave God the glory for both who he is and what he was doing. But the angels, as they sang, also mentioned humanity. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Humanity would enjoy the benefits of God's plan. But it was God that deserves all the glory for what he was doing. No man could take any glory. No man could take any praise for what God was doing that night. He was becoming a man. We talk about it as the incarnation. God becoming man. Philippians talked about it. Jesus, who thought he was God, yet took upon himself the form of a man and became obedient unto death. And the peace that the angels mention, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, is the fullness of blessing that comes from knowing Christ as Savior, knowing him as Messiah, knowing him as Lord. Talking about getting saved. That's where the peace that the angels talk about comes from. And we get that peace when we respond to the gospel, when we respond to the good news, and when we ask Jesus to be our Savior. Now, just think about it. The angel says, I've got good news. And it'll cause great joy. Just think about what they experienced that night. Darkness was overwhelmed by light. I mean, when the angels appeared in the sky, I think it was bright as noon. I mean, you couldn't tell it was night. The darkness was dispelled. The silence that usually accompanied the night, I'm sure there were maybe some dogs barking, some children playing, maybe some sheep bleating. But the silence was broken by a joyous choir singing glory to God in the highest. The terror that they felt when they first saw the angel was replaced by reassurance. The Savior was born. The Messiah was born. The Lord was born. And those that were the outcast of the world, so to speak, those that had been disenfranchised, that had been pushed out of the main part of society, that took up, you know, one of the lowest jobs in society, that were embraced by God of heaven. Because again, he didn't send this message to the king. He didn't send this message to the religious leaders. He sent it to the outcasts of society, those that were looked down on by others, to say, hey, I'm coming as Savior, I'm coming as Messiah, I'm coming as Lord, I'm coming for everybody. If he had come to the rich or to the rulers, the poor might have thought, well, did he come for me? Well, he came to the poor, so they would know that he came for them. The captive had a deliverer. The longing was over. The promise was being fulfilled. The Messiah had come. Now, I don't think the residents of Bethlehem knew about the birth. Okay? Some of them found out about it when the angels went and found Jesus and told them what happened. But heaven came down to announce to these shepherds that God had entered the earth. Now, and they rejoiced. Shepherds rejoiced. The message of Christmas, the message of the birth of Christ, is still a cause for rejoicing today. As we think about Christmas, and again, some of us have celebrated a lot of Christmases. I'm about to celebrate my 66th Christmas. Some of the first ones I don't remember, but I appreciated some of the things that Brother Bill said on Thursday night at Senior Saints about Christmas as a boy. I have some of those same memories. I don't have time to tell you those stories. But anyhow, let's never take it for granted. Regardless of how many you've celebrated, always use Christmas as a reminder, as we do other things, about what God has done for us. It all started to unfold when Jesus came and was born of a virgin in the small village of Bethlehem. And again, we need to be reminded that that's where it started. It led, to a perfect life. It led to Jerusalem. It led to a cross. It led to God laying every sin upon his only son, paying for our sins. And so as we think about it, as we think about what God has done for us, we ought to stand with the angels and say, glory to God in the highest. Glory to him. All right, let's look at the last passage of Scripture, verses 15 through 20. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So the angel came, announced the birth of the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. The heaven was filled with choir. They began to sing praises with God. And then, just like that, they were gone. They got done with their song, and they just disappeared. The night that was filled with light became black with darkness again. Shepherds said, they began to talk to one another and said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go into the city. Let's go see what the angel told us about. And so they said, let us now. Luke points out that they immediately went. They immediately went to find the Savior. And they went because there was no doubt in their mind. I mean, they didn't say, hey, let's go check it out to see if what the angel told us was true. They said, let's go see this thing which has come to pass. They said, it has to be true. I mean, God delivered this message. He told us. So let's go see it. Not let's go find it. Let's go prove it. Let's go see what we've been told. We know it's true because the Lord has told us. And so they came with haste. When they decided to go to Bethlehem, they didn't waste any time. I think they maybe left a shepherd or two to guard the sheep, but the rest of them went running to Bethlehem, and they began to search. Again, they didn't go to the palace. They didn't, or there probably wasn't a palace there, but they didn't go to where the mayor lived. They didn't go to the nicest houses in Bethlehem. They began to search the barns. When the Bible says, and they found, I don't think it was the first place they went to. I think they went to all the caves that served at barns. They went to all the barns in the city. They opened up the doors. They looked in, and they were looking for a couple. They were looking for a little baby. And the Bible says they found Mary and Joseph. But that wasn't enough. They had to find one more thing. They had to find the sign that the angel had given them. And so they went into the barn, or the cave, where Mary and Joseph were. They saw Mary and Joseph, and then they saw the little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Again, that wasn't unusual. The unusual thing was he was laying in a manger. He was laying in that feeding trough. It was a fulfillment of the sign. I mean, that's how the angel said, this is how you're going to find him. This is what you need to look for. This is how you're going to find him. And when they found him, their faith, again, they acted in faith. God told them something through the angels, and they acted on it. That's what faith is listening to God tell us something and then acting on it, okay? You know, most mankind lives by the adage, seeing is believing, okay? I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Well, when it comes to the things of God, it's believing is seeing. We believe, and then God rewards our faith and lets us see. Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so, and that's what faith is. When God tells us something, it's acting on it. It's believing that it's true, and it's acting. That's how you got saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. God said he would forgive your sins, make you one of his children, give you a home in heaven. You believed it. You acted on it. You received Christ, and then you were saved. You saw it. Okay? So, they saw it. And the Bible says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings concerning this child. In other words, they said, and again, it would be hard for them to keep it back. I mean, if you saw something like this, wouldn't you want to tell somebody? I mean, you wouldn't keep it to yourself. I mean, so as they went into Bethlehem, in fact, I think they told Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph didn't know the angels had appeared to the shepherds. And when they came into the barn and they began to tell Mary and Joseph what they had experienced. Hey, we were out in the field keeping our sheep. This one angel appeared. He told us about the birth of your son. He told us that we'd find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then the heavens were filled with angels and they were glorifying God. That's why we're here. Because we heard about it, and we wanted to see it for ourselves. And so they told other people. They told Mary and Joseph. They told everybody they met. And all that heard, the Bible says, all that heard it wondered at the things that were told them. They were amazed. They were in awe. Now, there's no indication that they said, oh, these are just a bunch of, you know, dirty shepherds. What do they know? Apparently there was no skepticism, even though God had used the shepherds as messengers. They wondered they were amazed, they were filled with awe that God had kept his promise, that he'd sent the Savior, that he sent the Messiah. The Greek word for wondered is thalamazo. Luke uses it a lot. He uses 13 times in the gospel. He uses it 5 times in the book of Acts. When God works, people wonder. When people see the power of God displayed, and this was the power of God, the birth of this little baby, they stand in awe. Now, Luke paints the contrast between the shepherds and Mary. The shepherds were excited. I mean, they came, they saw, and then they had to tell everybody. They just had to share the news. But the Bible says Mary kept all these things in her heart and kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That word kept comes from the Greek word suntero, which means you keep something close to your heart. You purposely put it in your mind so that you can remember it. So what that phrase kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, what it suggests is that Mary meditated on what had happened. I'm sure she meditated and thought a lot about her visit with the angel and the angel telling her that she was going to become with child and it was going to be an act of God and she was going to bear the Son of God. And then as she heard what the shepherds told her, the story of their announcement of the Savior, their announcement of the Messiah, their announcement of the Lord, that just added to her the things that she thought about. And again, she kept them in her heart. She brought them back up. She kept thinking about them over and over. And in all probability, Luke, again, when we studied the book of Luke a few months ago, he was a doctor, he was a historian, and he probably talked to different people that had taken part in the things that he reported in his gospel. In all likelihood, Dr. Luke interviewed Mary. I mean, how else would he know that the shepherds came and visited them in the stable? How else would he know about their, maybe he even talked to some of the shepherds. But he probably used her as an eyewitness and her testimony as he wrote the gospel. So they came. They saw what God had told them they were going to see, and then they went back. I can remember as a kid, one of the saddest times of the year was having to go back to school after Christmas vacation. I remember as an adult, one of the saddest times of the year was having to go back to work after Christmas vacation. Now, I know some people were glad to get back to the routine, and I guess in some ways I was too, but they had to go back. Their life would never be the same. Just think about these shepherds. They had to go back. They had to get back into the routine of keeping the sheep, protecting them, finding them pasture, finding them water. But they went back, and as they went back glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now listen, as God keeps his word for us, as God keeps his word for us, as he does what he says in his word, as we see the Bible fulfilled and the promises of the Bible fulfilled in our life. You say, preacher, I haven't seen any promises of the Bible fulfilled. Oh, you haven't? Who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Most of us are saved this morning. You've seen that promise fulfilled. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Most of us have had prayers, if not all of us have had prayers answered. As God fulfills his word, it ought to cause us to glorify and praise him just like the shepherds for all the things that we have seen and heard as it was told unto us. Look, he tells us all about it in this book. And then when we claim it and he does it, then we ought to be just like the shepherds. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus changes everything. He changes everything. He saves. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this lesson. Thank you for this series of lessons. Thank you for sending your son. We know it was the beginning of the unfolding of the plan that you've had for all eternity, the plan to redeem mankind. But it all started from a physical standpoint when Jesus was born on this earth. Thank you for this time of year that you remind us of that. But help us not to just stop at the manger. Help us to remember the perfect life he lived, the perfect sacrifice he was, the cross that he went to, the death that he died, the resurrection, all because of us to pay for our sins. And Father, help us to glorify and praise you. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, before we get done this morning, they'll see their sin. They'll know that it's only Christ that can make a difference about where they spend eternity. Only Christ can forgive their sins. Only Christ can make them right with you. And before we get done this morning, they'll receive the little Christ, the little baby Jesus that was born, the Savior that went to the cross for them. Make it so this morning. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.